When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm Tracy Barnett, your host and narrator. Heroes, we are back with part two of Pit Crawler. It's a holiday weekend. We're not going to waste any more of your time. Let's get to the show.
Just while we're on the cat flap situation, that brings up another important question. So in Pit Crawler, all humanoid or like classic fantasy races kind of characters, they're all up for grabs, they're all pit crawlers, there's no mechanical difference. What kind of pit crawler is Dirt and what kind is Sarah? So you can be like human, orc, goblin, elf, minotaur, kobold.
Yeah, I think
Misk.
Yeah, I think we're going to go with Misk. Dirt is, I think, what would classically be referred to as like a mutt. Like, we know there's a lot of rat in there. Dirt is human-shaped, but like, that's kind of all you get. And it's almost like a Jawa situation where Dirt is wearing like this robe and hood and you can't quite tell what's going on underneath.
I like the idea of Dirt as a Jawa sort of figure. Mm-hmm. Maybe with like a little nose poking out.
Yeah.
Possibly with whiskers.
Yeah, yeah.
And what about Sarah?
Sarah, man, what feels fun for Sarah? Like, we already have a bunch of skeletons, and I think skeletons are so classic and fun and cool. And I love the aesthetics of, like, traditional fantasy bad guy stuff, you know?
Mm. What about, you know, the Ghost of Christmas Future in A Muppet's Christmas Carol?
Yes, yes.
What about that, but wearing full plate armor?
I love that. That's very good. That's very good.
Okay, nice. So that's what we're going to go with. A lot of robes in this house.
Yeah.
So you've come in and you have said to Sarah that there's stuff going on at the neighbors.
The neighbors are revolting. The neighbors are revolting.
Well, I know that, but what else is new?
I mean, they're not going to work. They're going to refuse to work.
What do they mean they're not going to work?
I tried to understand.
Who's going
to
collect Skolog's things?
That's what I said.
Who's going to do Skolog's chores?
That's what I thought.
What do they think they are? People?
And I think with that, Dirt just like kind of retches. like there's a little bit of dry heaving. Don't say that to me. You know I have a weak constitution.
Oh, this is terrible. How must Skolog be taking this?
I can only imagine. Imagine being saddled with the burden of genius like Skolog and all of a sudden having people refuse to work because they can't afford flesh on their bones. Like, that's so entitled.
It's absolutely disgusting. Nobody wants to work anymore. That's what I say.
I mean, that's what I agree with.
I had 4 hours of sleep last night. 4 hours. Absolute bloody luxury.
And where else are you getting that? No. The fire wizard's not going to give you that, certainly.
Absolutely not. I mean, it's always bloody blazing blazes in his establishment.
Crackles and sparks all day.
Well, you know what I think we should do?
What's that,
head up to Skolog's mountain and we should just do as much of his chores as we can possibly do so that he doesn't even have to notice there's a strike on.
That's an idea that I get behind. Yeah, we can. All we need to do is put in some elbow grease, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, and he won't even notice. And you know what? I'm sure he'll be grateful.
I'm sure he will. He will notice that we are at work. And then maybe we'll get promoted to having breaks or having 5 hours sleep.
Man, 5 hours of sleep.
But definitely not more than that, because that would be selfish.
No, I have no... In fact, you know, if I get that extra hour of sleep, I'm going to spend it dreaming about a better life for Skellig.
As you should.
I'm gonna pack the elephant. I'm gonna put the elephant together, and we're gonna be on our way.
Okay, so you've got your elephant, you've got your shovel, you've got your lantern, and off you go.
Mm-hmm.
You take the long trek up to, well, it's like an hour and a half commute on foot up to the big Skellig's big mountain with the skull. Now, you don't often actually get to go into the mountain because there is a board outside where Skellig usually puts all of the chores. But as you get up there, there's a crowd. Some of them are skeletons. Some of them still have flesh of various humanoid creatures. They're all kind of marching in a circle, holding placards, saying things like, we want fire, we want flesh, chanting, what do we want? Liver! When do we want it? Now! They're kind of making a bit of a commotion around the board.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a little bit hard to see what's there. They actually cheer when they see you coming. And Hesiod's there and will say, Dirt! Sarah, you made it!
We did. And if you don't mind, Hesiod, I would like to speak to the crowd. Because I feel like I'm connecting with a lot of the issues that I'm hearing. And I've got some ideas that you'll find really exciting.
I'm so glad to hear it. Absolutely. We love a guest speaker. Listen up, everyone. They'll all stop. They'll put their placards down. They'll hold them steady. And they'll look expectantly at you. In fact, one of them will bring out a box for you to step on.
Yeah, Dirt is going to, like, scramble to, like, unclasp himself from his little harness that he uses to pull the elephant up the hill to get to the sign. And he'll, like, scramble on like, four limbs up to this box so he can look down over the crowd. Everybody, I have been hearing, you know, a lot of talk about wanting flesh. Wanting from a source that's not a dead animal that you have to whack repeatedly on a table.
Woo!
And I think because these are all things that our dear wizard has access to.
Yeah, he does! Knock it down! Knock it down!
And I was just thinking, how do we go about getting this? What do we do? And we could stand here shouting and chanting and waving signs, right?
Woo!
But wouldn't it feel more fulfilling to roll up our sleeves, dig deep, and work harder than we've ever worked before?
Could you make me a face roll? The difficulty here is going to be a 9, because you're not trying to convince anybody. That would be much, much harder.
Yeah.
This is just to see how badly they react.
Okay. And I believe my face is 8, so I need to explode to make this one work.
Yeah. Unless you want to put your heart into it.
Oh, you're right. You know what? This character absolutely would put his heart into this impassioned speech.
In which case, you roll your d10 as well, and then add the two results together.
Oh, okay. Hey, 5 and a 4, that is 9 exactly.
That is exactly 9, okay. You say your piece. They're so into it for the first half. You had them in the first half. And then there's just...
Working! Toil!
They stare at you as you chant, and then you hear... Boo!
This guy's not a pit crawler. He's a scab.
You are bundled off the box.
Yeah, and somebody just like picks me up by my scruff.
Yeah. Yeah. And they start up there chanting.
No more scabs! Except the ones that you have on flesh, because we do want flesh! They get a bit confused at that point.
Yeah, they review their priorities. Yeah. They try to talk through their ideology.
But you are now kind of within the fray enough to make it to the job sign, much of which has been vandalized.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one flyer, essentially, that states one little index card. Skulag's actually usually surprisingly organized. Like, he has his little black index cards, and he has his little blood red Sharpie, or possibly blood, who can say, that he writes the little jobs on. The only one that's currently visible is one that says, "Wanted, pit crawler to seek the awakening flame. Must not ask questions."
"I would never dream of asking a question," he says, snatching it immediately.
"Flame must be quenched for payment."
"All I gotta do is quench a flame? That's easy. That's nothing. I could quench a flame in my sleep. I've never seen a flame in my life, and I hoped not to unless Skulag demanded it of me, which is happening now."
Perfect. That is just what Skulag would like to hear. However, he's not currently here. He doesn't usually actually make himself available to pit crawlers, except when he claims to have an open office, an open mountain policy on Tuesday afternoons.
Yeah, but there is a dress code.
Oh, yeah, very strict. And it changes every week, so there's no knowing ahead of time what it's going to be.
"Someday I'm going to get those 40 gold skulls that you need to get in there."
So there's very little actual information on the card. It tells you that there is something called the Awakening Flame, that it is within this realm, and that it must be found and quenched.
All right, gotta find and quench the old Awakening Flame. You know what, Sarah? I think what we need to do, we gotta find somebody who's dialed in, who's tapped in, who knows what's what.
Not a bad idea. Have you got anyone in mind?
Well, let's see. We can't talk to our friends and neighbors, as they are currently being ungrateful saboteurs of our wonderful society. So we gotta improvise. We gotta talk to someone just beyond our normal social circle.
So there is one of the more successful roadkill gatherers,
who happens to be Dirt's ex. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, yeah. His name is Honch.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes. Of course it is.
And he can usually be found either at the side of roads gathering carcasses, or, deep in... Well, there aren't really any wooded areas, but the like, dry scrubland areas.
Mm-hmm.
Again, gathering carcasses. Or alternatively, at the one inn in Skulag's domain, the Leaky Eye Patch.
Oh, what a wonderfully evocative name for an inn. It has to be the Leaky Eye Patch, for sure. And I like the idea, like, we talk about roadkill, which means there must be vehicles that are likely to, you know, kill and strike down animals. I love the idea of there being, you know, like an Uber Lyft equivalent, but like down the line when they've automated it and made it unnecessary for workers. So basically, these vehicles need to be running constantly because they have to run over the animals that provide the power for the rest of society.
And I like the idea that they are themselves made of run-over animals. So it's basically like your elephant situation, but these ones are just like, they're just anything. So like, it might be a cow just on wheels.
It's a cow on wheels or it is on wheels, but like they absorb creatures into their being. Like, if they're not just hitting them for roadkill that sits on the side of the road, like, they're self-refueling. And the way they do that is by, like, running down an animal and kind of, like, absorbing it. So they're all these, like, terrible chimeras of like, the different animals that just happen to be around.
I want it to be someone's job. Like, I want there to be, like, mechanics, but instead of fixing cars, they are just stitching pelts together.
Yes. Yeah, they're it's all taxidermy. Yeah.
Oh, and that's what it can be called. The taxidermy. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
The dermataxi.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to the midroll. Heroes, we're going to keep this one short and sweet, too. James has a book. You should buy it. He has many books that you should buy. You can find links in the show notes. We have a Patreon. There's tons of bonus content. It helps me do this job. It helps James support his family. It helps all of us at the network do what it is that we're doing. If you want to help us out, go to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now, with all of that out of the way, let's get back to the show.
Okay, so there are these roads where the dermataxi, like, this is where they operate.
Yeah.
And I don't think there are any sidewalks in this world.
No, that would be useful.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The roads are only for taxidermy, so we like have to travel kind of carefully on these. And these are automated things, but they're automated things that are designed not to care if they hit anything. So it's essentially an extended game of Frogger to get us from where we are over to the leaky eye patch.
Wonderful. So you're going to catch this dermataxi. You just kind of start walking, and then you hope to leap on something.
I think you have to throw like a hook or something.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, it's just like they don't stop.
And then you reel them
down.
In. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Or rather, you reel yourself in.
You're dragged across the ground for like a good first portion of your ride.
Mm. You and Sarah manage to both hook yourselves onto the same, let's say, wandering gazelle and crawl yourselves onto its back that seems to be going roughly in the direction of the leaky eye patch. And you get kind of just around the block before it looks like the dermataxi is going to turn. So
yeah,
you're like a block away by the time you can just fling yourselves off desperately, hoping not to get pummeled by the next one to come along.
I like the idea that what we see Sarah dismount and Sarah like kind of comes down landing in this armor, and like there's this kind of like cool necromantic aura that like wafts out from them, and then we see dirt like fly off and smack off of the sign for the leaky eye patch and fall into a big like barrel of water, and then we see the elephant slam into that barrel of water, smashing it open, and dirt.
Oh, yeah, because the elephant's going to be being dragged along
dragged
this whole time.
Behind. And dirt is just like kind of like coughing and flailing. Ah! Ah!
Nice. Sarah waits for you at the door before entering, and you're going to shake yourself off and you enter the leaky eye patch. The leaky eye patch is one of the least dismal places in the entire domain. The little glow stick heat pack animals that they have are bunnies that were once quite cute.
Mm-hmm.
And they have them in kind of a... They've got this like soft, warmish yellow glow coming from them. They've put them in not a fireplace exactly, but it is a hole in the wall that could, God, if you squint, look like a fireplace.
Yeah, I love that. As much as they can, they like try to polish metal behind it, or maybe obsidian slate so it reflects out. And it is definitely enough to like provide an almost cozy warm glow to.
Yeah, and the algae that's growing on the walls here is actually a really nice shade of green, so it almost looks like they've got houseplants.
And it produces the fewest allergens of any growing thing that exists in Skellig's domain, which is still a lot of allergens.
It's still a lot. It's still a lot. You can see quite a few people here. It looks like in one corner, there's some people that seem to have come from the protest or on their way to the protest. It's usually quite a popular haunt with pit crawlers, but these ones, they're like writing out signs, saying things like, no pits without bits, and similarly poor slogans. But there is in one corner,
it's the skin off my back.
Yeah. Honch is sitting in one corner nursing a big tankard of what is no doubt lukewarm ale. How did things end between you and Honch? Was it a friendly breakup, a bad feeling situation?
Here's what I think for Dirt and Honch is, we're so bad for each other. But
you just can't keep away.
We just can't keep away from each other. Dirt is looking around the room and like we can see Dirt will like pull from these robes or whatever, like a little pot of like something to rub on the snoot that is like protruding from these robes that like shines it up a bit.
Yeah.
And Dirt looks across the room and the camera goes into soft focus and slow motion. In fact, we can see someone from the table across from Honch slams their fist on the table in slow motion down onto like a chipmunk. And the chipmunk like blooms in this beautiful pink light that cascades across the form of Honch. And there is like a brewing pot that is like placed down on another table, and these like delicate bubbles float through the air. And it's just like this, I feel like Honch has to look real gnarly. Like, I don't.
Oh yeah, I feel like as we're getting all these lighting effects, they first cascade on this like absolutely ripped, flowing hair, grizzled looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he moves away, like he takes a step away, and then you get to this like toad person.
Yes. there's music playing. It's never gonna dance again. Kenny G, just like that blaring sax. And Dirt, you know, kind of elbows Syrah in like the knee, because that's about where Dirt reaches. Mm-hmm. How do I look?
Syrah will take one look at you and go, yeah, pretty mysterious. Is that what you're going for?
You know, I feel like mysterious is kind of the best that I can hit on like a good day. So if I got an air of mystery.
Yeah, you look absolutely ambiguous.
Dirt is extremely touched by that. But I feel like Syrah, you know, we are as close to friends as like you can get when you believe in the strange hierarchies that we believe in. I feel like Syrah has to like passively disapprove of Honch. Like, we need to talk to Honch, but there's no way. You've seen this flame out so many different times.
Yeah. So Syrah's probably going to be looking at you being like, now let me do most of the talking, right? I don't know that it's a very good idea for you two to be talking together.
What do you mean? You mean the relationship, that the sexual and romantic relationship that I had with Honch? I've basically already forgotten all about that.
Well, I've heard you say that before.
But I'm sure this time is different.
Well. It better be. I don't want to see you hurt like you were last time, you know?
Syrah.
Emotionally and physically.
Syrah, it's me. It's Dirt. Do I seem like the type of person who is vulnerable to an abusive relationship dynamic? No. I'm someone who worships at the feet of Skulag, someone who I know has my best interests at heart.
Well, just remember we're here for work.
It's a work thing, and there's nothing I love more than work. We're just going to go talk to one of the most elegant creatures in all the realm, and then we're going to get right to work.
He'll kind of, Syrah will reluctantly lead you over to the table, sit down, and kind of lean a little bit, trying to get in between you and Haunch.
Yeah, I feel like Dirt scrabbles his way up a stool and, like, you know, throws an elbow down on the table and goes, "This seat taken," kind of leaning in. And then we just see Syrah, like, intrude.
Yeah, just between, muscle right in. Yeah.
Gotta leave some room for Skulag.
Just heavily plate armored elbows clanging down on the table. Haunch will put down his tankard of ale, flip the three wispy hairs that
Sort of definitely has like these like sort of slimy wispy hairs.
It's not like hair so much as like antenna almost. Like,
yeah. And they produce a mucus. I know what everyone in the audience is thinking. Do they produce a mucus? They absolutely produce a mucus.
Thank goodness that has been answered. Flicks those little tendrils and leans past Skulag's elbow. Well, hello there, Dirt. I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah! You know, mostly been hitting the pit, crawling around, working out, you know, working on myself. Sort of taking some time to be me. To live in the dirt.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. I, too, have been living that Haunch life. I mean, I've been doing absolutely great since I last saw you. Just absolutely loving life. Live, laugh, Haunch, as they say.
they do say that frequently and all the time. You seeing anyone?
Oh, you know, a few people, yeah. Puts his legs up, like legs up on the table. Just tries to lean back, look real casual. She's like, yeah, I get around, you know, I mean, scraping a carcass here, scraping a carcass there. You meet some people on the road, but I don't like to scrape and tell.
Oh, no, of yeah, of course not. My dance card's been super full. I see a lot of people socially and romantically, so just living a really satisfied life over here. Hey, know about any flames that should be quenched?
I think that Haunch kind of is a little bit startled to be asked such a direct question, and kind of having put his legs up on the table, like falls back on his chair, but picks himself back up. Oh, well, I wouldn't know. What is this about flames that should be quenched?
Dirt is gonna, like, kind of as, you know, sort of slick and smooth as possible, try to take the banner and slide it across the table. And, like, we get a real close up of, like, the sort of vacuous hood. We can see just, like, the tiniest glimmer of the beady eyes that Dirt has, mm-hmm. like, poke out, look at his kind of like gnarled hand, sliding it just so it could, it's definitely an accident if their fingers were to accidentally touch.
Yeah, and they do, like Haunch just like reaches out and the stickiness of his skin like catches a little against the gnarled, I want to say matted fur?
Yeah.
On Dirt's
matted fur? Question mark. Dirt goes, "Oh, careful! If you touch dirt, it could get everywhere."
There's like a close up of Haunch's bulbous eyes just going a little bit wider, and then he like the sticky pads of his fingers like sucker onto the card and drag it across the table.
Oh, I love having like gecko hands, just like.
And he has a look. Oh, the awakening flame. Well, yeah.
We're just thinking of heading out to quench it real quick. Just get a little quench in for Levensies, you know.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen it myself, but obviously I've heard rumors. I mean, we've all heard rumors. You must have heard the rumors.
Oh yeah, I've heard all sorts of rumors, but for Syrah here, I figured it'd be great to just have someone fill Syrah in on every detail of every rumor you've ever heard.
Right. So, for Syrah, some of the scrapers have been saying that while they've been going up in some of the roads in some of the far off mountains, they have seen a warm orange glow and heard a crackle.
Like the crackle of an animal being bashed against a rock to start its sickly glow, right?
Sort of like that, but I don't know how to put this. Like, nice?
Nice. So yeah, not what was that like word the soft organic thud of gooey flesh and bone crunching together?
No, I think this one woman that I spoke to described it as pleasant. Pleasant? I think that's it. Yeah, pleasant.
I'm not familiar with this word. It's making me uncomfortable.
Well, pleasant. I mean, it might be more dangerous than you think.
Yeah, we can't be having that. Somebody should put a stop to it. I'm thinking Syrah and I, probably just the two for the job.
Well, people say that this flame is awakening in some of the caves on the border between Skulag and Emborio's realm.
Emborio.
So, if you're sure you know what you're doing, that's where I'd go looking. But, Dirt, do you even know how to quench a flame?
I mean, how hard can it be? I mean, I've quenched a thirst. The beady eyes sparkle longingly from beneath the hood.
Hunch looks at you, and his suckered hands slide the card back over the table, not quite reaching yours. But he looks into the cape, like where your eyes should be. Look, just be careful with this one, Dirt. I don't want to see you get burned.
Dirt, like, sort of grabs the paper and like is trying to gonna say something flirtatious in return, or actually is like reaching as though they're gonna lean over the table and move in to make some kind of move on Haunch. And I feel like this is a great time for Syrah to just
Syrah just like throws himself bodily across the table. Bundles you right out. Okay, right, well, we're on our way. Got that, great. Fire must be quenched in the border between this realm and Emborio's. Great, lovely to see you, Haunch.
My DMs are open. And of course, I don't know why I'm saying this, as we all know, in this world, DMs are direct muskrats. That's a muskrat that just shouts
a muskrat that
like,
just like throws through your window.
Yeah.
This episode of One Shot features music from the following artists: Lauterbrunnen by Cody Martin, Urgent Assistance by Cast of Characters, Coffee with Gershwin by Dresden the Flamingo, Recklessness by Curtis Parks, and Noir No. 1 by Pedro. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy. That's it for One Shot this week, but don't worry, We'll be back next week with part 3 of Pit Crawler.
The history of role-playing games is weird and wild, and we here at System Mastery are determined to look through it all.
Every heartbreaker that drove a man to bankruptcy to see his vision of D&D with really specific armor maintenance rules come to fruition.
Every game where you get increasingly certain as you read it that this is all just one person's weird fetish.
Every system that painstakingly recreates how medieval life was really like, and then also you can cast Fireball.
The System Mastery podcast wallows in the filth of RPG history. Come!
Join us in the muck
at System Mastery.
As always, we end One Shot with a call to action, and I'm going to take a little bit more time with this one than I did with the intro and the mid-roll. This is going to be a little bit different for a call to action. What I'd like to do on this day is ask you not to lose hope. There are so many things that are bad right now. There are so many things that are oppressing so many people. It can feel overwhelming. Hope is what lets us keep going. Hope is what can drive us to effect change. That's all. I just want to ask you not to lose hope. Take some time, find some space if you're able to, rest, recover, and move on with hope to fight another day. Thanks, heroes. If you enjoyed this show, you should check out some of the other shows on the One Shot Podcast Network. Shows like Campaign Skyjacks. Campaign Skyjacks takes place in an original setting inspired by folktales and classic adventure fiction. James D'Amato leads Liz Anderson, John Patrick Cohen, Tyler Davis, Johnny O'Mara, and in recent episodes, Nathan Blades, as they tell a tale of daring sky pirates, giant birds, and the terror of a cursed sea. It's funny, dramatic, and at times emotionally devastating. Just search for Campaign Skyjacks or James D'Amato on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast app.
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at GameMaster@OneShotPodcast.com. One-Shot is a production of the One-Shot Podcast Network, in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes.